This is part four, COVID-19, part four, from Rashid Buttar from the www.advancedmedicine.com website.
Hello everyone. This is part four on the video series that I started putting out about 5 days ago, which is COVID-19 conspiracy question mark. The last video, part three, talked about the actual research regarding COVID-19 and its relationship to the wild type coronavirus, specifically the SHC-014 wild type strain, and what was done to make it into a chimera, and the research that was actually published. Some people that have tried to attack me on it, which obviously they did not even bother looking at the video because I actually showed the studies, but the vast majority of the people that have a critical mind, that are intelligent people, were able to see with their own eyes. Again, they didn't refute what their own senses showed them, what their own eyes showed them. Now this part four is looking at the role of 5G in the immune system, and if there is a correlation, how does it correlate the 5G to the coronavirus, to the COVID-19 breakout? And there have been some people that have talked about this already, but it was never given with any fact. It was the conspiracy theorist type stance, and you know, I really wasn't sure whether to believe it or not, so I decided to look into it myself. So first I'm going to present the relationship between 5G and the immune system, which essentially, I'm just going to make a statement right now that I'm going on to prove it, but essentially 5G rapes the immune system. All right, I'm just going to say it. No offense intended. The point being that it is that harsh and it is that dramatic and it's that damaging. The second component was I wanted to see whether there was a correlation between the rollout of 5G in certain countries and the incidence of COVID-19 in those countries. I'm going to show you that, and then I'm going to let you reach your own conclusion and decide what you want to decide. The bottom line is there is some type of correlation, and if there is a correlation, then why would there be a relationship between 5G and coronavirus? Is there a motive? Is there a reason for this? If I can show you that there's a connection, prepare to be disturbed. So let's start off with what actually is 5G. So the World Health Organization defines 5G a very specific way, and it talks about the electrical fields that are created by difference in voltage, and the higher the voltage, the higher and stronger the resulting field will be. Now what 5G is the next generation of communication. Now up to this point, the 3G and 4G, they were usually running between 50 cycles per second to 60 cycles per second, and this was measured in hertz. However, with the advent of 4G, it went up a little bit higher, and it goes up to around 200 to 300 hertz. The advent of 5G takes this up an order of magnitude times 3 or 4. We're going from 50 cycle, 60 cycle hertz to over 10 megahertz up to 300 gigahertz. So this is like exponentially greater electromagnetic fields that we're creating. These are radio frequency electromagnetic fields that we're creating. So prior to this, it was extremely low frequencies, what they called ELF fields. But now these fields have gone up to, from, as I said, 50 to 60 hertz, maybe up to 900 hertz with some of the mobile devices that we held in our hands, now to an order of magnitude of 10 megahertz to 300 gigahertz. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about 5G. So it's important to understand that the difference between 3 and 4G to 5G is not just one generational, what you would think. It's a leap and bound. It's like going from a two-dimensional image to a five-dimensional image. It's massively different. It's not even close to being the same thing. All right. However, the attractive component of 5G dwarfed the actual concerns that we should have had about the rollout of 5G from a health perspective, from a wellness perspective, from a perspective of what does it do to the human physiology or to the, any physiology, to any living physiology. And that was virtually ignored. The World Health Organization basically took a back stance on this, all right? So what does actually the science show us? Now, there has been talk about 5G and the health risks, as I said before, but this particular article was very interesting because it talked about a war between technology and human beings. So this article was written in May of 2019, and it talked about 180 scientists and doctors in almost 40 countries that are warning the world about the 5G health risks. These scientists responded to Resolution 1815 of the Council of Europe and basically stated that the scientists and these doctors were against the rollout of 5G. And I will just read this to you so that you are aware of what it says. We, the undersigned scientists, recommend a moratorium on the rollout of the fifth generation 5G until potential hazards for human health and the environment have been fully investigated by scientists independent from the industry. The reason they said this was because the studies that have been done were riddled with conflict of interest because the scientists that were doing these studies were vested with the technology companies. 5G will substantially increase exposure to radio frequency electromagnetic fields, which is also the acronym is RFEMF for radio frequency electromagnetic fields, and has been proven to be harmful for humans and the environment. Okay? Now, this author goes on to say, if you're not alarmed about 5G radiation dangers, you should be. And we'll talk about a little bit more about this. But I want to point out that this was 180 scientists and doctors in almost 40 countries. But that number significantly increases over the next 6 months, and we'll show you that. Now, 5G cancer is actually a thing. Okay, the cities of Brussels and Geneva have blocked trials and banned upgrades to 5G out of this concern. So there are countries in the world that have banned it, that have said, no, we're not going to have 5G allowed. We are not going to tolerate it. Now, again, as I mentioned before, 4G and 5G, the difference is in the terms of gigahertz, all right? 5G comprises technology that promises radio millimeter bands in the 30 to 300 gigahertz, whereas 4G tops out around 6 gigahertz. Now, that's 4G at the most advanced level. Most of the 4G devices were only at around 900 hertz. That's about where, so you're talking about up to about maybe one gigahertz, okay? Maybe that was the highest. This is going up, 5G is going up to 30 to 300 gigahertz, 60 to 120 times faster internet, which again is really, really exciting to think about how much convenience it would be. But how many people are going to be enthusiastic about that convenience if it's associated and correlated with cancer and is statistically significant data that has been extrapolated from these studies to show the direct correlation? I don't think anybody would be, all right? So we never worried whether or not our drive time radio shows would fry our brains with the 2, 3, and 4 Gs, but with 5 Gs, it becomes an issue. While 4G wavelength travel along the surface of the skin, 5G millimeter waves are more insidious. 5G wavelengths are emitted, our skin will automatically absorb them. Now, it's important to mention that when you go through TSA, when you go through the airport security systems, when they take you through these devices where you raise your arm up, that is the same millimeter wave technology. That is the reason I didn't even know this at the time, but it just didn't make any sense to me, and I have never gone through one of those devices. And I fly quite frequently, sometimes as often as once a week. Now, I will tell you that I have missed two flights because of the pat-downs, and it is a pain in the rear end, but I still refuse to do it because it just didn't make any sense to me based upon the little bit that I knew back then. Now, I've looked at it more. I do know that taking certain supplements through there, I usually write letters for patients to be able to take their supplements through a different system. And I didn't know about the absorption from the skin, but what I didn't know was the significant amount of damage to the immune system that the 5G rendered. That's what I didn't know. Does 5G cause cancer? Many scientists understand microwave ovens are carcinogenic. They cause cancer. Most of these scientists also believe that these waves are mutagenic. All right, mutagenic causes mutation. 5G will be similar to turning on your microwave. There's a good reason why hundreds of scientists are taking actions against the wireless industry. Now, let me talk to you about microwaves. We did a little study, myself and a colleague of mine who has now since passed, and his name is Dr. James Hauer, and we did a small little internal study between his clinic and my clinic to determine what the most significant cause from an energetic basis, what was the most significant contributing cause for cancer. And what we discovered was so alarming. This was back in 2001. So this was 19 years ago we did this. And the most significant exposure, energetic exposure, for those of you that don't know, I have a 7 toxicity philosophy. And it basically, if these 7 toxicities are effectively addressed, where the body is detoxed from these 7 toxicities, by definition, chronic disease cannot exist. Cancer, heart disease, it doesn't make any difference, it can't exist. We have treated patients with end-stage cancer from 93 different countries. We have treated autism and all the difficult to diagnose from all over the world. And I can tell you that we have before and after videos of patients, hundreds and hundreds of patients. In the case of autism, we've treated over 3,800 patients. And we have been able to define quantitatively that if you can eliminate these 7 toxicities, by definition, chronic disease cannot exist. Of these 7 toxicities, the 4th one is the energetic toxicities. The energetic toxicities are things such as electromagnetic radiation, ambient cell phone radiation, microwave technologies, anything that causes an effect from an energetic source on the body. We found, Dr. Harvard and I found, 19 years ago that the most significant adverse effect from any energetic component that a person would experience that was suffering from cancer was from microwaves. And for that reason, I have not had a microwave in my house since 2001. Actually, I'd stopped using it in 2000. So for 20 years in my house or wherever I've lived, there has never been a microwave. In the clinic that I operated, there has never been a microwave in those last 20 years. And I will not tolerate or take in any food that has been put into a microwave. In fact, my children, my 15-year-old son and my 21-year-old son, have absolutely refused to eat anything that has come out of a microwave. In fact, my son, my 15-year-old son, my youngest son, Rahan, has never known the use of a microwave. When he was 6 years old on a vacation in Hawaii, they took a burrito and they put it in the microwave and he refused to eat it. He wouldn't eat it because he said this, it was in a microwave. He just would not eat it. So that's how my kids have been raised. Now come to find out that this new 5G network that's rolling out, that is analogous to a massive microwave that's going to be all around us. Not only that, but for each tower that is a 5G tower, it can only generate enough power for anywhere between 3 to 6 homes. Some people say up to 10 homes. Compared to the 4G networks that could power hundreds of homes per tower, now we have to have multiple towers, 5G towers, per 10 houses or 5 houses, whatever it is. It's, in other words, we have to increase the number of towers by a significant order of magnitude in order to be able to have 5G utilization worldwide. It will not be like 4G, it will be much higher frequency of towers, and then of course we know the amount of energy that these things are putting out with the millimeter wave on the order of magnitude of gigahertz, going from 900 hertz to 30 to 300 gigahertz, it's astronomical amounts of microwave technology now we're going to be exposed to. Going on, the wireless industry is not just building an infrastructure that provides faster downloads, it's building a global microwave oven. There they said it themselves. 5G towers and mini stations are extremely dangerous because of the intensity of the technology. It will also require millions of more mini cell towers than before, potentially 1 tower per 2 to 8 houses. All right, so what I had read before was anywhere from 2 to 10. Some people said 2 to 6, so 2 to 8 houses. We don't know the exact number, but that's what they're estimating. This means that human beings' radio frequency radiation exposure will not only increase, but it will also exponentially increase within months, within a very short time frame. These towers are not only dangerous, they're lethal. And the author goes on to say it should be considered a crime against humanity. In general, radiation does one major thing to the human beings and animals. It destroys our DNA either by forcing the DNA to mutate or by killing specific groups of cells, all of which lead to cancer. Cancer is a highly mutagenic, adaptogenic process. And when a person goes into the hospital and gets an x-ray because they broke their leg or they needed to have a chest X-ray or whatever, what's happening is there is radiation being introduced into the body. That's the reason that the radiologists or the radiation techs will wear lead to protect themselves, all right? Now, this is a question I've always asked. Why is it that they use lead to protect themselves? It's so that they don't get the radiation. Well, why is the radiation bad? Because it causes DNA adducts to form, to DNA mutation to form. Why is that bad? Because then that leads to cancer. Now, when somebody has cancer, what do? We give them radiation. We give them further exposure to things that will cause DNA adducts to form and mutations to occur. So that is a fundamental reason that radiation therapy is something to me that is counterproductive and doesn't make any sense. Why it's done? Because it defies logic. Einstein said that you cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. Well, this use of radiation for the treatment of cancer has not made sense to me for at least the last 20 years. Now, what are we doing? We are actually promoting through something non-medical a technology that is going to expose our DNA to much higher levels of damage that can then lead to these DNA adducts to form and mutation to occur, which will then lead to cancer. So here's what to expect if you experience prolonged exposure to radiation. Nausea, swelling, hair loss, decreased appetite, low energy, general malaise, damaged bone marrow, damaged organs, deep depression, confusion, infections, incapacitation, and death. Okay? Pretty much things that nobody wants to experience. How do you protect yourself from 5G? Cell tower radiation health effects are real because there will be thousands of these towers and stations in every city. It will almost be impossible to avoid them. Given how addicted we are to our devices, the general public will tend toward risking life and limb to support our screen-related addictions. Now, here's the thing. Most people don't know about this. My hope is that people will learn about this and will then understand why we may want to consider a different option. But again, you know, it's something that I've heard. I know that some people are sensitive to electromagnetic radiation. Some people are going to be sensitive to the 5Gs. But from a global standpoint, it was, again, something that it was coming out. It's part of technology. You know, you do the best you can. You create ways to protect yourself, and there are devices out there that'll protect yourself. And if somebody's really interested in that, next Thursday, we will be doing a webinar, what you can do to protect yourself, but I'll talk about that in a few moments. All right, so there are things that you can do to protect yourself, but right now, the goal of this video is to determine if there's a correlation between 5G and coronavirus, all right? So let's go on to the next component, and this study, or this article, I should say, is actually talking whether 5G technology is bad for our health. Some experts strongly disagree that 5G is safe. All right. 5G has been designed to increase capacity and reduce latency. It will use higher frequency bandwidths right across the radio spectrum. What does 5G have to do with our health? The electromagnetic field of energy that results from the electromagnetic radiation, a form of energy that occurs as a result of the flow of electricity. These electric fields are power lines operate between 50 and 60 hertz, as I mentioned earlier. And electric fields result from the flow of electricity, and the radiation that comes off of them is called electromagnetic radiation. RF EMF stands for radio frequency electromagnetic fields, include all wavelengths from 30 kilohertz to 300 gigahertz. Public exposure is mostly from handheld devices such as cell phones and tablets, but these things are relatively low electromagnetic frequencies, and the biological effects are usually limited to just heating. All right. In 2011, 30 international scientists who are part of a working group at the International Agency for Research on Cancer met to assess the risk of developing cancer as a result of exposure to radio frequency electromagnetic fields. This study was published in The Lancet Oncology. And I can show you that study if you are interested in that. In fact, we can go right here and pull that up. It's right there, actually. I'll come back to that. The team looked at 40 studies that used rats and mice. In the view of limited evidence in humans and experimental animals, the working group classified radio frequency electromagnetic fields as possibly carcinogenic to humans. The evaluation was supported by a large majority of the working group members. All right, now, for me, that's good enough. If it's possibly carcinogenic, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But it goes on. Dr. Leonard Hartle from the Department of Oncology at Oribo University in Sweden is an outspoken critic of the WHO's decision not to adopt the IARC's classification for radio frequency electromagnetic frequencies as possibly carcinogenic. In the 2017, the International Journal of Oncology explained that several members of the EMF project's core group are also affiliated with the ICNIRP, an organization he describes as an industry-loyal NGO. All right, now there is a direct conflict of interest that if you're a scientist working for a company that's rolling out 5G or somehow related to 5G, and then they're also doing a study on the safety of 5G, there's a conflict, inherent conflict of interest there. Being a member of ICNIRP is a conflict of interest in the scientific evaluation of health hazards from radio frequency radiation through ties to military and industry, Dr. Hartle writes. All right, so that's not surprising. Of course, anybody that's got that conflict of interest should recuse themselves, but they did not recuse themselves from the study. They still participated and said that it was safe. Regardless, it was still assessed to be possibly carcinogenic, but the World Health Organization refused to accept that mandate and has said that it's safe, generally regarded as safe. Dr. Agostino C. Aula from the Division of the Internal Medicine at the Hospital of Bisseglie in Italy reviewed the latest studies specifically revolving around radio frequency electromagnetic fields in humans, animals, and microbes. He wrote, evidences about the biological properties of radio frequency electromagnetic fields are progressively accumulating, and although they are in some cases still preliminary or controversial, clearly point to the existence of multi-level interactions between high-frequency electromagnetic fields and biological systems, and to the possibility of oncologic and non-oncologic, mainly reproductive, metabolic, neurologic, and microbiologic effects. Biological effects have also been recorded at exposure levels below the regulatory limits, leading to growing doubt about the real safety of the currency employed by ICNIRP standards. Now look, guys, I can keep on going on and on with this, but the National Toxicology Program study by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services looked at high-level exposures at 900 megahertz. They found clear evidence of tumors in the hearts of male rats, some evidence of tumors in the brains of male rats, and some evidence of tumors in the adrenal glands of male rats. In the Journal of the Environmental Research Group, a group of researchers from Cesare Malattoni Cancer Research Center in Bologna, Italy, found an increase in tumors in the heart in rats exposed to RF EMFs equivalent to 1.8 gigahertz base station. Remember, we're looking at 30 gigahertz to 300 gigahertz with the rollout of 5G. So they found this at relatively low levels at 1.8 gigahertz, and we're talking about a significant order of magnitude higher. There's certainly evidence that ties radio frequency electromagnetic fields exposure to a small increase in the risk of developing certain cancers and other adverse health outcomes. That's if you look at it from a very conservative stance. If you look at it from an aggressive stance, it's a very high correlation. However, the only recommendation that's been made by the Food and Drug Administration is cutting down how much time we spend on our cell phones. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommended limiting the time that kids and teenagers spend on mobile devices. And that was basically it. That was the end of it. Now, what does this have to do with coronavirus? Well, it has a lot to do with coronavirus. We have no reason to believe 5G is safe. FCC adopted these limits based largely on research from the 1980s and preponderance of peer-reviewed research. More than 500 studies have found harmful biologic health effects from exposure to radio frequencies at intensities too low to cause significant heating. So there's been a lot of studies done on this. Then it goes on. Remember, before I showed you 180 scientists, now that number goes up to 240 scientists have published peer-reviewed research on the biologic and health effects of non-ionizing electromagnetic fields signed by the International EMF Scientists Appeal, which calls for stronger exposure limits. These scientists have published more than 2,000 papers and letters on EMFs in professional journals. Appeal arguably constitutes the majority of the experts on the effects of non-ionizing radiation. Now, I talked about the millimeters waves before, and I'm not going to repeat it again, but basically short-term exposure to these millimeter waves, the same stuff that you go through the security checkpoints at TSA, at the airports, short-term exposure can have adverse physiologic effects in the peripheral nervous system, the immune system, the cardiovascular system. The research also suggests that long-term exposure may pose health risks to the skin, including melanoma, the eyes, which is ocular melanoma, and the testes, testicular sterility or testicular cancer. 5G is a new technology. There's no research on health effects, so we are flying blind, to quote a U.S. senator. However, we have considerable evidence that the harmful effects of 2G and 3G, little is known with the effects of 4G, a 10-year-old technology, because governments have remained remiss in funding this research. And now we're going to go from 900 hertz to 30 gigahertz to 300 gigahertz, and we know that already studies have been done to show a correlation at just 1.8 gigahertz with all sorts of different types of cancer. Again, why am I talking about this when we should be talking about coronavirus? Well, I was curious. I want to establish first how damaging 5G is for you, since I wasn't aware of a lot of this literature, and by delving into this, I started seeing how damaging it really is. By the way, I'm now one of those scientists that signed that petition as well. And that number has now risen to 208,000 individuals that have signed that petition from 200 different countries. Now, this is the Lancet Oncology paper that is showing carcinogenicity of radio frequency electromagnetic fields. May 2011, remember, it was 30 scientists from 14 countries that met, and they basically found that there was, I'll just get right to the chase of it, and you guys can look at this information if you want. There were multiple studies that they did, epidemiological studies looking at the radio frequency electromagnetic fields that were created and the cancer outcomes from these cohort studies. There was one called the Interphone study. It was a multi-center case study, and it looked at 2,708 cases of glioma. There was also a Swedish research group study that was done that looked at two very similar studies, and they basically looked at a total cases of 1,148 glioma cases. And then there was an additional study that was done in Japan that's also found some evidence. The working group's conclusion was that there is limited evidence in humans for the carcinogenicity for radio frequency electromagnetic fields based on positive associations between glioma and acoustic neuroma and exposure to RF EMFs from wireless phones. They assessed more than 40 studies that assessed the carcinogenicity of the RF EMFs in rodents, and they basically ended up classifying radio frequency electromagnetic fields as possibly carcinogenic to humans. All right, now I'm going to stop talking about cancer and 5G and come to coronavirus. 5G deployment has been referred as a dangerous experiment on humanity, and there are numerous theories surrounding 5G, citing numerous mechanisms, including phased array technology, that may induce adverse health consequences. When coronavirus came out, there was all sorts of things that started happening. Okay, people started talking about different things. They were talking about the biological effects of non-ionizing radio frequencies showing DNA damage, which we've talked about, the oxidative stress component, which we've talked about, and leading to a variety of diseases, including infertility and neurodegeneration. The problem is that it causes a certain change in the calcium channel blockers. It's been demonstrated to induce calcium ion efflux, where radio frequency is observed to pump ions through the calcium channel and pores bound in the bilipid membranes, and this calcium efflux through the activation of voltage-gated calcium channels. It is not one-sided. Now, what is the significance to this? Calcium channel blockers are a class of drugs that are used for many cardiovascular conditions. And when you start affecting the calcium efflux or influx into cells, it causes a disruption in the ionic gradients across cell membranes. Now, this is going to get technical, so there's a reason that I'm not going to talk about it in more detail. For anybody that's interested, I will have these references available to you if you want. Essentially, I just want you to remember that cancer is a biological effect from these 5Gs, and now we also see that calcium efflux is a biological response that can lead to different outcomes. We know this calcium in the wrong places is pathognomonic for cancer and for apoptosis. Calcium in the right places is essential for life. So the influx of calcium ions through VGC disease is a necessary step in the initiation of apoptosis. Apoptosis is programmed cell death. Suppression of apoptosis is concurrent and conducive with cancer. So when you have cancer, there's a suppression of this apoptotic mechanism, and we don't want that because the association with uncontrolled cellular proliferation and suppression of apoptosis is the essential definition of cancer. A high level of calcium in mitochondria is essential to initiate apoptosis cell death. Yet influx of calcium does not mean certain death for certain cells. Therefore, there's a suppression of apoptosis, which is concurrent and correlates with cancer. EMFs at 4 watts per kilogram, 5 hours per day, responded with increased autophagy that actually inhibited apoptosis. Again, remember, we don't want to inhibit apoptosis. We don't want to suppress apoptosis. Increased autophagy changed genetic expression of calcium channels, ultimately affecting calcium hemostasis, inhibiting apoptosis. For those that are doctors, those that are scientists, you understand the significance of this. If you are not, don't worry about it. The point is that it helps to create the oncogenic process that then leads on to cancer. All right. All electromagnetic radiation causes membrane depolarization, and there's more and more of this. So it comes down to the coronavirus here, and it asks, is the coronavirus and depolarization, is 5G the Trojan horse? As early as 2009, millimeter waves were found to interact with lipid membranes, leading to changes at the membrane-water interface that were charged and dipolar residues are located. Numerous studies showed microwave radiation, again 5G, induced cell apoptosis as a result of mitochondrial membrane depolarization, chromatin condensation, and DNA fragmentation. All right? Now I want you to listen to this. This is very important. The COVID-19 and other coronaviruses like SARS coronavirus encode proteins known as envelope E proteins that can modify host cell membrane permeability in order to gain entry into host cells, promoting replication, release, and proliferation. These proteins are able to form ion channels to induce membrane permeability changes. This is very important because a coronavirus is an enveloped virus, just like the hepatitis C virus. It's an enveloped virus. And it allows essentially the burrowing through the cell membrane that then creates issues where the ion channels essentially start to leak. Okay, that's a very rudimentary way of explaining it. But these proteins are able to form ion channels to induce membrane permeability changes. It can cause a disruption, these proteins that are found that are associated with the coronavirus, with the COVID-19 and other such types of viruses. Membrane permeabilization can be the direct cause of depolarization leading to apoptosis. The successful invasion by coronavirus enveloped proteins as a result of membrane integrity already severely compromised from constant exposure to EMRs is analogous to the role of the Trojan horse in the fall of Troy. What does that mean? That means that it's cloaked and we don't even realize that basically the 5G is helping to make the coronavirus accessible to the cells and allows it to get into the cells easier than it would were there no 5G around, is basically what this is saying, all right? So is it possible that the deployment of 5G technology exacerbated the vulnerability to the attack by COVID-19? The bulk of the evidence presented points to the fact that all frequencies of EMR, from those from the sun to basic electricity, have the ability to alter membrane potential, without a doubt. The only difference is that 5G is where normal electromagnetic fields that are being generated from power lines and from our devices is 50 to 60 hertz, all the way up to maybe 900 hertz. We're not talking about, with 5G rollout, we're talking about 30 to 300 gigahertz. Much, much different, all right? Now, this is asking the question if 5G could have potentiated the effects of COVID-19, but I wanted to know, is it possible that just looking at the areas in the world that were affected the most, is it possible that there was a correlation? So this thing comes out, is coronavirus linked to China's rollout of 5G biowarfare? The question was asked, and it was a good question. The undisputed global leader in the development and deployment of 5G is China. Undisputed, nobody argues with that. By the way, this was in February 2000. It therefore may come as a surprise to learn that the urban testing ground for the first full-scale deployment of 5G network was a Chinese city of Wuhan, the epicenter of the coronavirus, aka COVID-19. Is this a mere coincidence or is there a link? On April 6, 2018, an official statement on the website of the Chinese province of Hubei announced that the city of Wuhan, with approximately 11 million residents, would be the pilot city for the deployment of 5G. Now, if you remember from the first video, I talked about this component, and I also talked about the outgassing from the incinerators, from the pollution that was so bad that it garnered international attention, and BBC and CNN and many other media sources covered this atrocity where the people were complaining, and it was very, very bad. Now, you're talking about that population that's already toxic, and now you're talking about Wuhan being the epicenter for not only the breakout of COVID-19, but also being the central launching pad, urban testing ground for 5G. And I've just shown you an article before that talked about how 5G changes cell membrane permeability and allows for efflux of enveloped viruses to come in and out, leave alone all the other aspects that 5G does as far as damaging the immune system and inducing oncogenic process and causing cancer. By the way, let's just go to that. This was, here it is, April 2018, Wuhan, as a pilot city to build 5G telecoms, has been approved by the central government. 3,000 macro base stations and 27,000 micro base stations will soon be constructed. By the end of 2018, the trial will use a technology will start in various pilot areas. It is expected to be accessible by users at the Military World Games in 2019. By 2020, 5G network will cover every corner of the city and will be available at an affordable price. Again, 5G network coming to Wuhan, April 2018. All right? I'm just going to go on from here. I wanted you guys to see this. And in fact, let me just make sure you guys can see this. Again, April 2018, Wuhan, 3,000 macro base stations, 27,000 micro base stations will soon be constructed. So now I'm going to ask a question. Which two countries were hit the hardest from coronavirus, from the COVID-19? The answer is Iran and Italy, not China. Iran and Italy. So is there a correlation? If I'm right about this correlation with 5G, if these people that have asked the question are correct, then there should be a correlation. So let's see. Iran committed to 5G rollout, May 2019. The government of Iran says it plans to push ahead with the rollout of 5G in the face of economic and trade sanctions imposed by the U.S. Preparations for 5G deployment are high on the agenda for 2019. Iran and Italy were both vying to be leaders in the 5G rollout. Here's another article. In 3 months, we will have provided the condition for experts in the field to learn all there is about 5G technology, and by 2020, we will have begun executing our action plan. This is Iran ready to take a step forward towards 5G, published in September of 2019. Here's another one. This is specifically talking about the launch of the 5G internet and in which cities they were talking about. There were two specific cities that there was the highest incidence of the COVID-19 deaths. So this one's talking about the country will kick off the fifth generation of internet communications known as 5G in the next Persian calendar, and goes on to talk about what they're going to do. Let's go on to Italy. In Italy, there's a video here talking about how Vodafone Italy turned Milan into an extensive 5G testbed. Anybody that wants to listen to this video, it's a considerably long video, and it's basically all you need to know about it is exactly what this headline says. Italy turned Milan into an extensive 5G testbed. And this is a quarantine Italian coronavirus epicenter transformed into a 5G testbed prior to the outbreak. Okay, this video shows it. And I will have the link here if you guys want to see this. And what cities in Italy got hit the hardest? Well, that's an interesting question as well. Just like with Iran, I will come to that in a second. Italy's new government on Thursday approved its use of special powers to supply deals for fifth generation 5G telecom services by a number of domestic firms. The measure was adopted under a law passed by the previous government in July to broaden powers Rome has over companies of national interest. This was September 2019. Again, they're vying for this, right? The government said that it was going to roll this out, said it would also exercise special powers over the Fastweb's purchase of radio components from ZTE for systems that could adopt 5G technologies. They were hitting it hard. They wanted this bad. They wanted to be the leaders. Italian Telecos gets ready to reach more cities with 5G in 2020. This was in the beginning, in January 6, 2020, before COVID became really prevalent in Italy. They weren't even talking about it then in Italy. Italian operators kicked off commercial 5G offerings in part of the country's main cities during the second half of 2019 and have already announced plans to rapidly expand coverage during 2020. All right, now, Milan, Turin, Bologna, Rome, and Naples, and the area that was hit the hardest, one of the hardest, we'll talk about that in a second. The operator said the speeds of the 5G will increase progressively up to 10 gigabytes per second by 2021. 5G services will be offered through spectrum in the 700 megahertz and then going up to the 3.6 to 3.0 gigahertz and then 26.5 to 27.0 gigahertz bands. So the 700 megahertz, okay, that's pretty much what 4G is at right now. 3.6 to 3.8 gigahertz, they're rolling that out. That's much higher. And then, of course, when we get to 26.5 to 27.5 gigahertz, that's seriously high. 2019 June, local operators announced a strategic agreement leveraging operators' respective assets in order to accelerate the rollout of the national 5G network. And then it goes on, they announced the completion of the national 5G spectrum tender in 2018 for a total cost of 6.55 billion euro. What cities? A little city by the name of Lombardy has the highest number of deaths related to the coronavirus that was just released at the towards the end of March, March 23rd, March 24th. And the development of 5G in Lombardy starts at Monza. This is basically one of the places that they started demonstrating the new services and applications of the 5G. This was one of the highest epicenters, and I don't have data for all the different cities. But again, I wanted to look at the cities, the countries, and the rollout of 5G. So Wuhan, where the epicenter of coronavirus, the COVID-19 started, it was the same month, December, that they launched those towers. And then you've got Italy and Iran with the two highest casualty rates, and both of those countries had 5G rollouts at the same time, and both of them were vying to be leaders in the 5G industry. Now, remember what I told you in the beginning of the third video, part three. And what that was the association between a industry that has to take responsibility for some type of technology that can cause harm versus blaming it on a virus. Because it's a virus, it's nobody's fault, right? It's a naturally occurring phenomena. So is it possible that the 5G rollouts were potentiating this versus that the COVID-19 was blamed for something that the 5G caused? Well, I think it's part and parcel, a combination of both. I don't think that they really realized that the COVID-19 was going to happen the way it did. Of course, mankind created it. It was developed, as we talked about on part three, which is I showed the studies, at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. That's where the technology was developed, and it was taken back to Wuhan, and the alteration of these chimeric viruses that created COVID-19 based upon the SHC014 surface proteins on top of a backbone of a SARS coronavirus component, and then had orthologs that were placed into this. Other additional protein nucleotides were added to create a very virulent form of this virus called the COVID-19. That then introduced into an environment that's potentiated with 5G, that's causing havoc with your cell membranes, allowing for permeability of the virus and other enveloped viruses to permeate through the cell and create an infection, just exacerbate the situation. Now, I've shown the correlation between Wuhan, Italy, and Iran, but does that mean that if there's a city or area in the world where it has very low incidence of coronavirus, then what would the correlation be? Would that be safe to assume that then there wasn't any 5G? And this is what I'm going to show. The last place in the United States to show a case of 5G, excuse me, the last place in the United States to show a case of COVID-19 was an area of West Virginia, all right? And in fact, now there has been a couple of cases. There have been a few cases that have shown up there, but they were all from Washington, D.C. people coming in. But in that area, there was a very conspicuous absence of COVID-19. That area was defined as, in fact, this site actually talked about it, but now they've changed their information. They don't show it because before it was West Virginia had zero cases. And when you clicked on it, it actually talked about the area that did not have any incidence of COVID-19. But this area is called the National Radio Quiet Zone, and it was established by the Federal Communications Commission in November 1958. And it's an area that is basically to minimize possible harmful interference to the National Radio Astronomy Observer. Excuse me. And it was established to minimize possible harmful interference to the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in Green Bank, West Virginia, and the radio receiving facilities for the United States Navy in Sugar Grove, West Virginia. All right? So it's to minimize possible harmful interference to the National Radio Astronomy Observatory. It encloses a land area of approximately 13,000 square miles near the state border between Virginia and West Virginia. And there was a very, very conspicuous absence of COVID-19 up until, I think it was March 21st. It's only about 4 days ago did the first case show up there, and it showed up from somebody traveling from Washington, D.C. So anyway, I just wanted to show that. Here is the scientists who have not wanted the implementation of 5G. September 13th, 2017, that time it was 180 scientists. That number has now grown considerably. I don't know exactly how many scientists, but a total of 208,000 people have signed it, of which I think about over 1,000 are scientists and doctors from 204 countries, from what I understand, recommend a moratorium on the rollout of the 5G telecommunications until potential hazards, human health, and environment have been fully investigated by scientists independent from the industry. Radio frequency electromagnetic fields have been proven to be harmful for humans and the environment. 5G technology is effective only short distance. It is poorly transmitted through solid material. Many new antennas will be required, and full-scale implementation will result in antennas every 10 to 12 houses in urban areas, thus massively increasing mandatory exposure. Many scientists from many countries have expressed their serious concerns regarding the ubiquitous and increasing exposure to EMFs generated by electric and wireless devices already before the additional 5G rollout. Numerous scientific publications have shown EMF affects living organisms at levels well below most international and national guidelines, including cancer risk, cellular stress, increase in harmful free radicals, genetic damages, structural and functional changes of the reproductive system, learning and memory deficits, neurological disorders, and negative impacts on general well-being in humans. Damage goes well beyond the human race, as there is growing evidence of harmful effects to both plants and animals. I believe now we can add to that enveloped virus permeability is increased by the exposure of 5G, because the science has clearly established that with the membrane permeability component that I showed you with the calcium channel blockers. The world's largest study, $25 million of the National Toxicology Program, shows statistically significant increases in the incidence of brain and heart cancers in animals exposed to EMF below the ICNIRP, the International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection guidelines, followed by most countries. These results support results in human epidemiological studies on radio frequency radiation and brain tumor risk. A large number of peer-reviewed scientific reports demonstrate harm to human health from EMFs. The International Agency for Research on Cancer, the cancer agency of the World Health Organization, in 2011 concluded that EMF frequencies of 30 kilohertz to 300 gigahertz are possibly carcinogenic to humans. However, new studies like the NTP study mentioned above and several epidemiological investigations, including the latest studies on mobile phone use and brain cancer risks, confirm that radio frequency electromagnetic field radiation is carcinogenic to humans. There is also strong evidence that long-term exposure to certain EMFs is a risk factor for diseases such as, besides cancers, Alzheimer's disease and male infertility. Electromagnetic hypersensitivity symptoms include headaches, concentration difficulties, sleep problems, depression, lack of energy, fatigue, and flu-like symptoms. Inaction is a cost to society and is not an option anymore. By us sitting on the sidelines thinking that this is not going to affect us, you have now been shown how it is affecting you. We unanimously acknowledge the serious hazard to public health that major primary preventive measures are adopted and prioritized to face this worldwide pan-epidemic in perspective. And what's the conclusion? The conclusion is still, what is the scientific evidence related to RF and health? The Federal Communications Commission regulates RF emissions from wireless devices. It has reaffirmed its safety standards on a unanimous and bipartisan basis, saying, get this, guys, this is the Federal Communications Commission reaffirmed its safety standards on a unanimous and bipartisan basis, saying, there is no evidence to support that adverse health effects in humans are caused by exposures at, under, or even in some cases above the current RF limits. Indeed, no scientific evidence establishes a causal link between wireless device use and cancer or other illnesses. I just showed you studies. I just showed you the physiology. I just showed you permeability. I just showed you evidence of multiple scientists in multiple countries talking about how dangerous this is. And the Federal Communications Commission still says, hey, guys, it's safe. So now you decide if there is a correlation between 5G rollout in Iran, in Italy, in Wuhan, very coincidentally, the same months, they're vying for the highest rollout, the fastest rollout, and in the cities where there was the most COVID-19 deaths were the cities that were the test grounds for the rollout of the 5G. And remember, they can't blame an industry if it's a natural cause. So what did they do? They took a man-made, adulterated, chimeric virus and blamed it on that, the COVID-19, and they have blown it totally out of proportion. It's all about the 5G. They've created the virus, but they've blamed on the virus as a natural thing so that no industry can be affected by the 5G. And now what's coming down the pipeline is that they're going to come up with a vaccine. I'm telling you right now, the research conclusively shows this is not something that a vaccine can be made for. This virus is a man-made virus that cannot have a vaccine made for it. But I will show you what you can do yourself to prevent the COVID-19 from creating any kind of problem in your system if you can maintain a certain blood level of this naturally occurring nutrient. I will show you that. It's not going to cost you anything except for a few dollars from a health food store, or you can boost up your level if you want. But the key thing to remember is that the COVID-19, even though it's adulterated and it's chimeric virus, it's very self-limiting. Okay, it burns out fast, and unless you're immunocompromised, you have nothing to worry about. And if you are immunocompromised, there are certain things you can do, but the hysteria that's been created around it and people staying 6 feet apart from each other and the global economy shutting down and no more conferences and everything, it's absolutely ludicrous. Now, if what I'm saying doesn't make sense to you and you think I'm crazy, hey, shut this down and go on living your life and go get the vaccine and God be with you. For the rest of you that have a critical mind, that understand basic fundamental concepts, that can follow a logical sequential thought process, you now see the truth. And for those of you that understand this, then there's a conference coming up on May 23rd to May 26th, okay? I'm going to give you a plug. The Advanced Medicine Conference, the second annual conference. We have some of the leading healthcare providers from all over the world that are going to be presenting there. So we welcome all. You don't have to be a doctor or a healthcare provider to come, but some of the people that are going to be there are healers from all over the world. Dr. Bruce Lipton is going to be one of the speakers there. And when I put out the notice to the speakers that we were not going to cancel, within 10 minutes, I had three of the speakers from three different parts of the world contact me and say, thank you, Rashid, for taking a stance. Thank you for not succumbing to this paranoia, to this BS. So guys, I welcome you to come to Advanced Medicine Conference. And if you are concerned about the COVID-19, then you really should be at this conference so you can understand what the facts are. I hope this information has been informative for you. The next video is coming out in about 48 hours, and we're going to call out some of the people that are putting out misinformation, and then I'm going to have a video to help show you what you can do, the help that you can get. Pay this forward. Let your friends and family know about it. Stop promoting the hysteria. Allow people to know the truth and pass this information forward so that we can get our economy back on track and understand what the real issues are and demand that this type of garbage is, one, not tolerated anymore, and two, that we as a nation, we as a people of this planet will no longer tolerate this type of garbage, this type of misinformation, this type of manipulation, and this type of atrocity being committed on our physiologies, on our bodies, on our children's bodies. We're not going to tolerate it anymore. Pay it forward, pass it on, tell everyone about it.